All right, brethren, let's turn to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. Because God chose His people in Christ, and Christ paid all the debt we owed to divine justice. Whenever Christ reveals Himself in the newly created heart of a sinner, through Christ and by Christ, God gives the believer full provision for the way. He gives us full provision for the way. Let's read our text, just a portion of our text, Genesis 45, and look at verse 21. The children of Israel did so by what was done for them. They believed and they obeyed. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh. And he gave them provision for the way. Everything was provided for them for the way. Now, let's look first of all, back up in verse 16. First thing we see here is there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that Christ brings to repentance. There's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that Christ brings to repentance. Verse 16. Remember last time we saw Joseph revealing himself to his brethren? We saw how that's a picture of Christ revealing himself to his people. Now we're going to see today what he does when he reveals himself to his people. He makes full provision for us in the way. Now look here, verse 16. And there's rejoicing when he does this. There's rejoicing when he brings a sinner to repentance. Verse 16. The fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. The fame of Joseph, that's what went forth. The fame that Joseph had drawn his brethren and revealed himself to his brethren, that's what was heard. That's what was heard. And in Joseph, we see Christ here, don't we? We see Christ, the fame of Christ. It's his brethren, Christ's brethren, those he redeemed that we see brought here, those brethren that were brought. That's the elect. He brings his brethren to repentance. Christ does. It's the fame of Christ and his work. Christ formed in the sinner. Christ working repentance in the sinner. It's that fame that's heard. Just like we read here, the fame of Joseph's brethren coming. That's what was heard. And where was this fame heard? It was heard in Pharaoh's house. Now, this is not that Pharaoh we're going to read about later who hated the children of Israel and put them in slavery. Pharaoh's just a title, an office. This is the Pharaoh who was a good Pharaoh. He loved Joseph. He exalted Joseph. He honored Joseph. In our text, Pharaoh's a type here of God the Father. In his servants here that are rejoicing, we see God's angels in heaven. Pharaoh's house pictures heaven. It pictures this heavenly house. We see here God and his angels hearing the fame of Christ bringing one sinner to repentance. And what's the reaction in heaven? Look at verse 16. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. God our Father is well pleased with Christ his Son and with all the works of Christ. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God's holy angels are pleased with Christ. Christ and all his works, they're pleased with those things. Turn over to Luke 15. Luke chapter 15. Listen to what the Master says here in verse 4. Luke 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, now here's the meaning of that, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look down at verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the piece which I had lost. Here's the meaning. Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. The angels desire to behold these things, the Scripture said. You know what would be a great blessing is if Christ revealed Himself to somebody today and gave you a desire to behold these things. And I tell you, if He does that, there'll be great rejoicing in heaven. God our Father and His holy angels will rejoice in what Christ has done for you. Now, secondly, when Christ does this, when He reveals Himself in our hearts, God our Father charges His believing children. And He does this charge with Christ. With Christ, God our Father charges us, His believing child, to go forth with this good news and spread it into all the world. That's what the charge is that He gives us. Look here in verse 17. Pharaoh heard this news and that they had been called to Joseph. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye. Lay your beasts and go, get you into the land of Canaan. Now notice, Joseph's the mediator here. He's the go-between, between Pharaoh and his brethren. Pharaoh said this to Joseph, then Joseph went and said this to the brethren. Christ is the mediator. He's the mediator. Christ represented all God's elect to the Father when He walked this earth. And Christ, He continues to make intercession for us, presenting us to the Father, representing us to the Father in heaven. And likewise, Christ represents the Father to us. You see there, Joseph said to Christ, Christ came and spoke to his brethren. That's what a mediator does. He's reconciled two parties that were opposed to one another, and now he's the go-between between these parties. He's the mediation, the mediator. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's what we see here. Now, when Christ reveals Himself in our hearts, the charge is from Christ, from God our Father, He's to go forth into this world and preach the gospel. Depart, go into Canaan, go forth and preach the word. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and He spake unto them and He said, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. God exalted Him, gave Him power over all things in heaven and in earth, as the God-man mediator. And He said, Now go therefore into all nations, and teach all nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And He said, And I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now that's the charge. You know, you look into this world, and you see everything that's going wrong, and the government and in society and worldly affairs, you know, international affairs, and we start saying, well, if we did this or we did that or if this happened or that happened, there's only one cure for the mess we're in. Just one. That cure is Christ, and that cure is brought to sinners by this right here, what we're doing, the preaching of Him alone. That's how it's brought. God says, go get them. Go preach my word. Go forth. And then thirdly, look this. Who does God command us to bring to Him? Who is it that the church is seeking in this world as we preach this gospel? Who are we looking for? Look at verse 18. He said, Take your father and your households and come unto me. He said, You go into Canaan
That's where Joseph's father was. That's where all the households of all these brethren were. And he said, you go there and you take your father and your households and you come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. Now, that was their earthly fathers and their earthly households they were going after. And they were to bring them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, I'm going to give you all the fatness of the land. But you know who believers are seeking? We're not seeking our physical, earthly fathers and households necessarily. We want to see them brought to faith. But who we're really seeking are our spiritual fathers and our spiritual mothers and our spiritual sisters and our spiritual brothers and our spiritual households. That's who we're seeking. That's who they are that we're seeking through this gospel. We're trying to bring them to God our Father through faith in Christ. Now turn over with me to Mark 3. I want you to see this. They interrupted our Lord Jesus one time when he was preaching here in Mark 3. And they said, your mother desires to speak with you. She was outside. And they said, she wants to talk to you. There he is preaching to this congregation of people. Mark 3:33, he answered them saying, who's my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him. Those that were sitting there heeding his word and listening to his word. And he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Do you see that? Now, look over at Mark 10:28. Now, that's true of Christ. That's who his... We're seeking his mother and his fathers and his sisters and his brothers. These brethren he's redeemed, that's who they are to him. But what are they to us? What are they to us? Well, the rich young ruler, he wouldn't follow Christ because he wouldn't leave his possessions. Well, some of those possessions that make sinners not follow Christ, some of those riches is mother and father, sister and brother, son or daughter. They don't want to offend them. They'd rather offend Christ than to offend them. So they won't leave them to follow Christ. They won't do that. They won't do that. But look here. Peter spoke up. Mark 10:28. Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And you know what Peter's saying here. The Lord knew exactly what Peter's saying. Peter's saying, well, we left everything and followed you. What do we get? What are we going to get? Listen to what the Lord said. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that have left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and for the gospel's sake. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, right now, in this life. Houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children. Those are spiritual mothers, and fathers, and sisters, and brothers. He'll leave his physical, his earthly, but he'll receive a hundredfold more in spiritual brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers. In lands and persecutions, and then when this world's over, in the world to come, eternal life. What does he mean by that? I can leave here and I can head to South Arkansas. And I can stop all along the way and have a roof over my head and food on the table and go all the way free of charge, because I've got spiritual brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers the whole way through there. I got a lot more mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers than I had by my natural birth. By God giving me life and giving me faith in Christ, I got a bunch more fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers now. Now, let me ask you this question. If our earthly father, mother, sister, brother was dying of some disease, no distance would be too far to get them to a physician. No price would be too high to see them cured. You know that's the case. That's just true. Well, when we consider that these lost ones we're taking this gospel to are really and truly our spiritual mothers, our spiritual fathers, our spiritual brothers and sisters, our households that will be our households for eternity and no end. We see that's who they are, and that they're dying in sin. They're dead and they're dying and they're in sin. That ought to make us say, no price is too high, no distance is too far to get the gospel of this great physician to them, because that's the only cure for them. That's my loved ones. I don't know who they are. They're lost. They're out in the world. But God's going to call them through this gospel. That makes me want to get the gospel to them. That's my brothers and my sisters. That's my fathers and my mothers. You understand what I'm saying? You understand that? It was a long journey to go from Egypt back to Canaan. It was a long journey to go there. But Pharaoh said, go bring them to me. And that was Joseph's father and his brethren and his households and all their father and their brethren and their households. And you know what they did? They said, that's not too far to go. Let's go get them. Let's bring them to Pharaoh. Isn't that a pretty picture of sending this gospel forth? All right, look here now. Here's the fourth thing. Through Christ and by Christ, in Christ, God provides us with everything we need in the way. For this whole work, God provides us everything we need for the work. We don't have any provision of ourselves. It's all provided by God, by Christ, in Christ. Now look here at verse 19. Here's the first thing. He says, now thou art commanded. This is still Pharaoh speaking to Joseph. Thou art commanded, this do ye. He's saying, tell your brethren this. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt. Wagons out of the land of Egypt, provided by Pharaoh, for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Now you look at these wagons. These wagons, this was the vehicle Pharaoh chose to put them together with their brethren and bring them along that way as they made their pilgrimage to Pharaoh. The means he chose, the vehicle he chose, were these wagons. You picture those. There they are, these brethren that Joseph's already called, and they're all, each one in these wagons, and they're all together in these, you know, in these wagons. And then they get there, and they get all their household and their brethren, and they all together in these wagons. And there's a wagon over here, and there's a wagon over here, and there's a wagon over here, and they all united in these, each one of them in each of these wagons, united with their brethren. What's the vehicle that God has chosen, that Christ is using to bring all His brethren to God our Father? What's the vehicle He's using to unite us together and keep us together and bring us all to the Father? The local church. His people make up that local church. And He's using the church to preach it of the gospel, to fitly frame us together, to put us together like they were together in those wagons, and to bring us along this pilgrimage, along this way that we must go, and bring us to Christ, to God our Father. But that's provided by Christ. He provides the brethren. He provides the gospel. He provides this spiritual body called His church. He provides it, and He protects it, and He carries us the whole way. And then look, when they found these brethren, this is all part of this same providing that He does. When they found this brethren, these brethren, they were to tell those brethren, now you leave everything behind you. Get in this wagon with us and let's go. Because when we get down there, Pharaoh, we got all the fatness of the land. Look here, verse 20. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. You know what God tells us? He says, leave all behind. All your works, all your so-called righteousnesses, all those things, all your sins, everything that you thought would either commend you to God or keep you from God, leave all that behind. Don't regard your stuff in this world. Don't think that's going to be your salvation. Leave all that behind. Christ says, follow me. And He says, because all the good of my land is yours. Look at Philippians 3, verse 7. That's what Paul learned. Philippians 3, 7. Philippians 3 and verse 7. He said, he spoke there of all those things he put confidence in. His, who he was born unto, and his religion, his denomination. He put confidence in his self-righteous works and all those things. And look what he said here now, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. I regarded not my stuff. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You just imagine now, as they're on that way back to Pharaoh, and they're in those wagons, and they probably went through storms. They probably had to go through some deep water, and they probably had to go through some blazing hot sunshine, and all these different trials they had to go through, these obstacles they had to go through to get to Pharaoh. But they, you know what they kept looking forward to? They had that word that they were given. All the fat of the land of Egypt yours. And that was their hope. That's what kept them driving forward, looking forward, was, well, I got a good hope. I got something waiting on me. Listen to what Paul says down there in verse 13. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I've left all my stuff behind. And I forget those things that are behind. And I'm reaching forth into those things which before, I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. That's what these brethren were doing as they were going in those wagons. That's what it pictured. Now look here. Here's another thing in this provision, back in our text, for Genesis 45. Now, Pharaoh gave this command, and this command was spoken through Joseph to them. And when it was spoken to Joseph through them, they believed Joseph. Joseph was convincing enough when he spoke to him that they believed Joseph. Look at this. And they obeyed him. Verse 21, and the children of Israel did so. They did everything Joseph told them to do. You know, all the blessings of God are already provided for His people by Christ and in Christ. They're already provided. They're all laid up for His people. But we don't know about those things until Christ comes and speaks all the word that God our Father has given Him to speak to His people. Just like Pharaoh had laid all this up for them. They had it all, but they didn't know they had all this till Joseph came and told them. Well, we got blessings abundant from God. We don't know it until Christ comes and He teaches us. But when He teaches you, He's so convincing in teaching you that He's the one. His voice speaking into the heart is how we're given faith to believe. It is the essence of faith is Christ's Word. Christ the Word. When He speaks, you're going to believe Him. And you're going to obey Him. You'll follow Him. Now look here. And then, see, so He provided faith too. He provides faith too. Now look, He went to His brethren. He provided all the things Pharaoh told Him to give them. Look here, in Genesis 45 and verse 21. It says, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them the wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh. Christ puts us in this local church according to the commandment of God His Father. And He gave them provision for the way. When Christ puts you in His church, when He calls you out of darkness and plants you in with His people, fitly frames you together with His people, Christ provides, makes all the provision for the way. He provides everything for the way. Christ is the way. He is the way. He's the way. No man comes to the Father but by Him. He's the way. And Christ is the bread as we travel in the way. That's what this word provision means. He's the bread. He's the wine. He's the feast of fat things. He's the life. And He's making full provision for us as we go. And then look at this too. This is what He gave them too. He gave them all a change of raiment. Look here at verse 22. All of them He gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin He gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Christ has robed all His people
in the robe of His righteousness. When you hear me talk about what Christ did for His people on the cross, that's the righteousness of God being made manifest. That's how God can be just and the justifier. That's the righteousness of God, Christ Jesus the Lord. And when He comes and gives you faith to lay hold of Him, Christ has robed you. He's made you the righteousness of God in Him. So He's clothed you in a brand new garment. It's called the garment of righteousness. This is a garment of salvation. Like a bridegroom decks himself and the bride decks herself with her ornaments, Christ has decked His people out in righteousness. That's right. That's the only way. You see, they had these garments because they're going to have to, when they get to Pharaoh, you can't just walk in there to Pharaoh wearing some old ragtag garment that you've been traveling along in. You can only go in there. They had to get on this garment that was sharp looking. So when they went in there to Pharaoh, they would honor Pharaoh with their presence because of the way they were dressed. Well, you can't come to God in your old filthy rags of righteousness. The only way you come into God's presence is in that pristine snow white robe that Christ has made for His people. That's the only way. That's the only way. But now the difference between Christ and Joseph is this. Joseph loved his brother Benjamin above the rest, and so he gave him 5 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. Well, Christ loves all His brethren the same. And He's given us all the very same righteousness, the very same riches in Him. They're ours in Him, by Him, through Him. That's what He's done for His people. They're all choice sons of God and choice brethren of Christ our Redeemer. All of them. Now, this is something else too. When they get there to their father and their brethren, they don't have any way, any sufficiency in themselves to convince their father and their brethren that Joseph is alive and Joseph has provided all this and Pharaoh's provided all this through Joseph. They don't have any way of convincing their father and their brethren of that. And so look at what Joseph provided. Verse 23. To his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. And when Joseph gets there with all this, when his brethren get there with all this, and they say to their father, Joseph's alive, and Joseph's provided all this for you, Joseph's going to look at all that provision made by this man down there in Egypt, and he's going to say, you've persuaded me. He's alive. He has made full provision for me. And he's going to go with them. You see, Christ is sending us with this gospel. But we don't have any way of making it effectual. We don't have any way of convincing our brothers and sisters who are lost that Christ is alive and that Christ has provided all this full provision. We don't have any way of convincing them of that. But when Christ said, I'll be with you in the way. And when we're preaching this word, Christ comes, and in Christ, when He's like we saw this morning, when He says, behold me, Christ reveals an abundance of grace provided for His child. Just like Jacob's going to look up and see all this provision that's been made by Joseph. Christ's going to open the eyes of His people to see all this full provision made by Christ. And that's how the word's going to be made effectual. So see, in all these provisions, brethren, He provided everything for them. In all these provisions, we see this. God's able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's what He says to you and I who make up His church. We're going to have full sufficiency of God's grace. You just picture those brethren in those wagons headed up there to look for their father and their households. And they got wagons full of all these goods. And they coming back up there loaded with everything. They're not hungry in the way. They don't have to worry about shelter. They don't have to worry about raiment. They don't have to worry about nothing. It's all provided.
And when they get to Pharaoh, they'll have even more than what they got in the way. You see that? God's going, He says, I'm going to make all grace abound towards you so you can abound to the work I've sent you to do. God wouldn't say, go do this and then not provide everything we need to do it. He does. He provides everything. The righteousness, the grace, the raiment, the wagon, the church, the gospel. He makes it effectual. He gives you faith to believe. He provides everything. Everything. Now, here's the last thing I want you to see. Joseph gave them one last very important word before they left. One last word. Now, listen to this. Verse 24. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Joseph knew his brothers inside and out. And he knew what they liked to do and what they were apt to do. And they were apt to blame each other. And particularly, they were apt to blame each other for each one of them's part in rejecting and selling Joseph. But Joseph had reconciled them. Joseph had forgiven them all their sins against him. Put them away. They were never to be brought up again. So Joseph's will was, you don't bring it up again. I'm not bringing it up again. You don't bring it up again. So he said, see that you fall not out by the way. It carries the meaning of this. See that you do not provoke one another to wrath. That's what it is. See that you don't provoke one another to wrath. Brethren, isn't it a sad thing that we need this admonition? Isn't it sad? We have this old man of sin dwelling in us who's a self-righteous Pharisee. And you know what he'll do? This old man of flesh in us will look at somebody else. I found myself doing this so much lately. You'll hear something somebody's done, and you know it's not according to God's Word, and you look at them and you begin to say, I can't believe they're doing that. Why in the world would they be doing that, allowing this, when they know that's against God's Word? And what we're doing when we do that is we're bringing up sin that Christ says, I've already forgiven it. And I don't remember it anymore. God don't remember it anymore. So you quit bringing it up. Because all that's going to do is, now if you go and talk to your brethren about it and criticize them and judge them harshly and unjustly, all that's going to do, brethren, is provoke them to wrath. And he says, and you're going to fall out by the way. You know what will happen? You'll leave the wagon. Picture those brethren going along. If they did this, if they fell out by the way, you know what will happen? One of them would get mad and say, well, I'm not staying in this wagon no more. And he'll leave the wagon. He might, Judah might go over and say, I'm going to get in Judah's wagon. I'm not going to go with them in that wagon anymore. That's what believers do a lot of times. I'm leaving that church. I'm going to go over here to this church. Don't fall out by the way. God's provided everything. Christ has made us complete in Him. He's given us full righteousness. Don't use the things of God to fall out with brethren. Don't fall out by the way. If they fell out by the way, you know what happens? They're not going to be used to bring those brethren back to Joseph. Do you think Joseph, if that happened, do you think Joseph would have let his father and his brethren and those households not be brought to Egypt? He would have chosen somebody else to go get them. That's what Brother Scott read. You won't come to this supper. You won't feast on Christ. You won't rest in Christ. You won't trust Christ, but you're going to fall out by the way. He said, I'll bid somebody else. But he's bringing his people. He's bringing all of them. So see how it's just sad. We're just fighting against ourselves if we fall out by the way. He's given us grace for grace. He's given you grace. Grace upon grace to be gracious. That's why he's done it. Forgiving, loving, merciful. This is what he says. Hebrews 10:23. Let's go there. Knowing he's done all these things for us through his blood, through his sacrifice for his people. and He's provided us all the faith and all the righteousness and the gospel, and He's providing everything as we go through this world to call out His brethren. Now look at what He says to us. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Who is the profession of your faith? Who do you profess faith in? Christ. He's not saying just hold on to faith. He's saying hold on to the one you profess to believe. How do I know that? Look at the parenthesis. For He's faithful that promised. So He's saying hold on to Christ. Believe Him, trust Him, that He's going to provide in the way, full provision. And verse 24, and what about my brethren? What should I do to them? Let us consider one another to provoke, not to wrath, not to fall out by the way, but to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what's going to happen if we fall out by the way. We'll leave the wagon. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the man of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. If God's put you in a church, given you faith to believe Christ, trust Christ, robed you in His righteousness, made you holy by His grace, and put you in a local church where He's provided the gospel, where it's being preached, where the gospel is being sent forth into this world, Christ is the only one being exalted. Every time. You don't have to wait 10 or 12 messages to hear Christ exalted. You hear Him exalted every time. From the beginning to the end. If that's what God's done for you, don't fall out by the way. See to it. He's got to keep you there. He's going to keep you planted there. But you see to it that you don't do anything to fall out by the way. Hold on to Christ. Provoke your brethren to love and to good works. And don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. This wagon right here is how God's going to bring all our brothers and sisters to God. It's how Christ's going to do it. Isn't that a good picture there? Man. We got a amazing body right here. Our bodies, our physical bodies are amazing. You just find out new things about it every day. But I'll tell you, that's not nearly as amazing as this body called His church. It's not nearly as amazing. Because it's just amazing how God brings us together and He's going to bring His people to Himself through it. This is how you learn grace in reality. That's right. Well, through our troubles and through our shortcomings and through our having to forgive one another and love one another in spite of one another. This is how you learn what true grace is that God's shown to us. He loves us in spite of us. He loves us for Christ's sake. That's how we love one another. Love you for the gospel. Love you for Christ's sake. That's what keeps us from falling out by the way. All right, brethren, let's observe the Lord's table now. Brother Art, will you pass?